Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Our studios, once again, working remotely, as many, 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 many of you are doing. I read where shares of Zoom have doubled here in the last week. While the market has been tanking in some areas, there's other areas where people are looking at saying, what an opportunity, and Zoom is going to be one of those where people are going to work remotely. I am fascinated that we are together for a third day in a row remotely, and that Jared Nielsen is finally going to take a break. The Iron Man has put this studio together through wires and connections and ways where he's got a studio built in his house to where I can talk with you. Eric can jump on in. Why don't we bring Eric in? And we just seamlessly go about our preparation. If we were nearly as prepared to do a show as Jared Nielsen is to get us on the air, we would be really doing well. But the Iron Man just keeps it going. It's the only way to put it.
I will say this, my sectional couch is much more comfortable than the chair I sit in at Skyview, so I'm kind of just getting used to this setup, I'm not going to lie.
I really believe that when all this is done, that we're going to see the idea of being in big buildings. I'm not saying that this is us, I'm just saying in general. I'm looking out at trends and saying, you know, the idea of handshakes will probably be viewed as something before pre-coronavirus. Fist bumps, how social interaction, the social distancing thing that people are trying to get used to. I still haven't quite wrapped my arms around that. We've been isolated, although we went for a hike yesterday and got caught in a rainstorm, which is par for the course. But things like being in big buildings, I think they're going to go away. I think that people believe that, or upper management believes that, you have to be in a building so we can all watch you at the same time, that we don't trust you. And there are people that go goof off and screw around and do other things and take money by not doing their job. I've worked with some of those people. Presently, I have nobody on that front, presently, except myself, maybe sometimes. What is on your mind today?
Oh, I'm still caught up in this whole Tom Brady to Tampa Bay fiasco. I guess it's not a fiasco, it's just a turn of events, because it's interesting that Tampa Bay got close to 7,000 new season ticket holder requests yesterday. And now apparently players on other teams are kind of like, oh, okay, Tom Brady's in Tampa. That may be a nice destination landing spot for me, most notably maybe Todd Gurley.
So, yeah, Todd Gurley, we talked about this earlier in the week, that he is going to get moved from the Rams. I guess I look at it and say, a guy that's in his mid-40s that has been in a system that has won. It's not like Joe Namath had great success when he went to the Rams at the end of his career. I saw that, okay, as a kid. He got run over. Joe Montana at the end of his career. Jerry Rice at the end of his career. It's not like as soon as you go somewhere else that it's all going to work out, Eric. I don't know why people would, because I've seen the stories about players wanting to be with Tom Brady. I guess, do they want to be with Bruce Arians? Is it just they want to go live in Tampa and not freeze their keisters off? Is it because they're going to be in a division in football that, if you look at that division top to bottom, are there some wins there that can be had? And so, yeah, Tom Brady to Tampa Bay, and they're waiting on the physical and all that. I think that's really gripped the sports world. I don't quite get why you would say, let's go to Tampa Bay just to be with Tom Brady at this point. It's one hit away. That doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. I was speaking with someone yesterday, and he said, you know, when we get through this, I need to talk to you about Sagicor. And I said, because I have my license, I said, well, you can talk to the good people at Sagicor. You can even go online and do so at Sagicor Now. You don't need to wait to visit with me. This is something that you should be thinking about, and that is your life insurance, as your personal finances. Simply go to Sagicor Now to get your free quote online for life insurance. Also, check into Peace Assured. It's a terrific program. You can learn more about Peace Assured. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor. We appreciate all of our sponsors staying with us during these difficult times and all of their support. We've got Pedro Gomez coming up in about 7 minutes. So I think it's time to start taking the conversation to what are the other sports leagues doing? How are they handling it? I saw some very interesting comments from managers over the last few days about Joe Maddon in particular with the Angels about let's just play in empty stadiums. It's a television event anyways. Why don't we just get this thing off and running? And that actually does make some sense to me because, yeah, it is nice to get some things back to norm, even though we're still in the midst of this, it feels like, it sounds like, it seems like, with the coronavirus. I'm not saying you don't pay attention to it, but if you can't have players in a locker room setting, players' lockers, Eric, are what? 3 feet by 3 feet, something, 3 feet next to 3 feet, something like that. So
very
if you
close, say, yeah, very, very close to one another.
Very close, but could you put half of a team in an auxiliary locker room and they're 7 feet, they're 8 feet, they're 10 feet apart? I don't know. If they're on the bench, would it all look goofy? Or to Joe Maddon's point in today's Los Angeles Times, I want to talk to Pedro about this, is that we can get this game out there. Let's actually experiment with some of the rules now in baseball in this uncertain time in society where we will play games that people can watch and we can actually work through some things. I think Adam Silver last night was very, very good with Rachel Nichols on the future of the NBA. And we'll hear from him in a little bit on some of the changes the NBA may be considering. Think of it this way. What if the NBA did start on Christmas Day? I don't think that's going to upset anybody. What if free agency was pushed back to October 1st? I don't think that's going to upset anybody. What if you did finish your season in late July? The television viewing habits in our country have changed. And Adam Silver discussed all of those last night. So on the NBA side, we'll hear from Commissioner Silver. And I think on the NHL side, there's some interesting news on that front, too, about the integrity of the season from their commissioner and whether or not that should be taken into account in these interesting times. So Pedro Gomez here in about 5 minutes. Michael Fabiano was with us earlier in the week on the Football AZ show, the day that DeAndre Hopkins was traded to the Cardinals. We talked to him about the fantasy impact of all this because he is the fantasy football guru, the Hall of Famer with the NFL Network. So you'll hear from Michael Fabiano what he thinks of the DeAndre Hopkins deal. And then Ed Graney from Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, he also does an afternoon show. It's interesting. I texted Eric this yesterday. Back in the day, before I came to Arizona, Ed Graney was doing college and preps for the San Diego Union-Tribune. Pedro Gomez was doing preps for the San Diego Union-Tribune. These guys, it was like rock star. Buster Olney was doing preps for the San Diego Union-Tribune. All these guys were together at the same time, and kind of a San Diego reunion show today with Pedro and Ed Graney. I think on the Cardinals side of things, what has been lost in the DeAndre Hopkins acquisition, while everybody's excited about that, I can't help but think that they've improved their defense. And they still have the eighth pick. They get Jordan Phillips, who had 9.5 sacks last season. They signed Devon Kennard, who's a great local story, great local player. How much gas does he have left in the tank? I think he's in the prime. And he's also finished runner-up to Calais for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. So we have a good dude, which we like a lot. And the Cardinals just keep stacking these local kids that we did stories on 7, 8 years ago. And it's fun to see them come back home. I coached Devon Kennard in basketball when he was in fifth grade. He'd foul out of games in 5 minutes. He didn't know how to control his body. And then by the time he got to Desert Vista, he just started crushing people and killing people. And it's a good thing he didn't stick with basketball because now he's had a very long NFL career and he signs a 3-year contract for a good amount of money and he comes back home. I think fans are going to like that. This is a better acquisition for a local kid than Terrell Suggs was last season. I've had some people say, well, they're just doing it for PR purposes. Yeah, I think there's some of that at times in the league, but you better darn well have guys that can still produce, that still have gas left in the tank. And to me, Devon Kennard still has gas left in the tank. The other interesting story in the NFL, and then we'll take a break, is Nick Foles, the trade yesterday to Chicago. So earlier in the week, we were going through the destinations for where all these quarterbacks going to go, and the market will be defined, and Eric is still waiting for the Chargers to do something, anything. He's on the Tyrod Taylor bandwagon now, right? Yeah. So Nick Foles goes to Chicago, and it makes a lot of sense. He worked with Matt Nagy when Nagy was with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to walk into a system. There's other coaches and front office personnel that he worked with when he was with the Eagles. So he's walking into a situation where he's already ahead of the curve. He already knows what they're going to do. And so that the idea of he's been acquired to be a backup, no. I think we can see where this is all going. That's another failed draft pick by the Chicago Bears, and Nick Foles lands there. The rest of the quarterback market, I'm guessing at this point, Eric, is on the Cam Newton. If you're Cam Newton, Washington is where I called yesterday. New England needs a quarterback. The Chargers need a quarterback. Is there anybody else that's out there that we look at and say, I'm not quite sure where they're going to go. I'm not quite sure where this organization may end up. Because I think those are the three destinations for Cam Newton now that the dust has settled.
I would think that would be the case too, Brad. And the other shoe that could drop is Jameis Winston. Where is Jameis Winston right. going to end up?
Miami?
New England?
The Chargers?
No. The Chargers said they are set on Tyrod Taylor going into 2020.
Is that right? I did not see that.
Right.
Tyrod Taylor. Go buy your season tickets. Come watch us in our new stadium for the Tyrod Taylor Show. Why not? All right, Pedro Gomez on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Pedro Gomez joins us, ESPN baseball insider, Valley resident, analyst, man of many talents. Are you in the Valley, and how are you doing in the midst of all of this coronavirus and uncertainty, Pedro?
I'm doing well, man. Everybody in my family is doing well. Our son, the minor league pitcher, has driven back from Florida. He is currently in San Diego with his girlfriend. So, you know, we're luckily in a good spot, and hope you are as well, Brad.
I am. We are working remotely, which is part of the deal, and family's good and all that. Thank you for asking. And on the baseball side of things, so it's hard to talk about it. On one hand, I read a story by Joe Madden this morning, where he did have some interesting comments about the game and when it's going to come back, and maybe it is time to play in empty stadiums. So let's just start with the overarching. Did Rob Manfred handle this the right way moving forward? Do you know of a return date to baseball? Any guesstimate?
Yeah, I don't know that there is a right way to handle anything right now. It's so unprecedented what's going on. So, you know, obviously stopping the leagues was a must, stopping spring training. I'm a little surprised that spring training camps are still open for players, for major league players, I should say, 40-man guys. It's not open for any minor leaguer, but I'm a little surprised that those camps are still open, because you know more than 10 people are at those camps. But, hey, that's an individual choice that every club is making. There's no direction from, you know, Major League Baseball to say, nope, completely shut everything down. And you know, it's again, Brad, there is no playbook for any of this. Which is what Red Sox general manager Chaim Bloom said last week, which is very accurate. I know it's a cliche, but it is accurate.
The idea of, and I'll go to the Joe Madden story in today's LA Times, of maybe it's time to play games in empty stadiums because it is a television event. Eric and I were talking about the distancing from one another. I'm sure there's multiple locker rooms in some cities where you could be distanced out, put 15 in one side and 15 in another, and have them be 8-10 feet apart. Yeah, that sounds rather drastic. Playing games with the rules that the baseball may want to implement to do something. Do you agree with what Joe Madden had to say?
Yeah, I think that having a season, hopefully at some point, is going to be good for not just for baseball, but for fans as well. And it's going to be one of those seasons that will forever be earmarked as one of the most bizarre, no matter what happens. And if you do have clubs playing in domes and warm weather cities and neutral sites, who really cares? Or at spring training sites, let's say, with no fans in attendance. I don't know that that is going to, you know, be what we see going forward. I think it's just a one-time deal, hopefully. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Look, Joe Maddon has always been one of the more outside-the-box thinkers in the game. And I think right now is the time to think outside the box. So leaning on someone like Joe Maddon is not the worst thing in the world for the game right now.
Rob Manfred, I'm following on what Gary Bettman said this morning in an interview, that he's worried about the integrity of the number of games and all that for next season. Baseball does not need to worry about that. Should baseball be worried about the integrity of the game in terms of the statistical side of it when making this decision? I say absolutely not. Just get back to playing. And if every team can't play 90 games and some play 89, then so be it. Where are you on this?
Yeah, it's an extenuating circumstance. There's no doubt about it. You know, baseball has time on its side. The season wasn't technically supposed to start until next Thursday, so there is still time. I'm not saying it's going to start. We absolutely know it's not going to start on time. But if you have a 90-game season, a 100-game season, it at least gives you some semblance of a regular season. Not a full one, obviously. And look, I go back to 1982 in the NFL when they had a 9-game season out of a 16-game season. So they only played 9 games because of the strike in the middle of the season, or at the beginning. I can't remember if it was at the beginning or middle. But regardless, they had a 9-game season in 1982, expanded the playoffs to include 16 clubs out of the, I believe, then 28, and had what was called a Super Bowl tournament. And that was the year the Redskins beat the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. And, you know, once the playoffs began, I don't think there were any fans saying, oh, this is a bummer, my club didn't get in, and things like that. I think that this, like I said, this will always be one of those seasons that will stand out if it is played. And there'll just be extenuating circumstances that needed to be addressed for this particular year.
It feels to me, we're talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN, it feels to me, Pedro, that when all this is behind us, if in fact it all gets put behind us, because there's reports that it could come in waves and all that, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but when this is behind us, the social distancing and being a fan going to any live sporting event, is this going to change moving forward? From my view, that's one question I have around myself, is this going to change people going to games? The television dollars are so huge that really you could play, if you're a baseball owner or a sports owner, you could play in empty buildings and you would still make money. Owners would disagree with me on some of that because they're not going to make as much TV dollars.
Exactly.
Or certain, where playing in an empty building may change the face of sport.
Yeah, look, for the NFL, TV dollars make up probably 90% of their income. So, that you know, the actual fans in the stands is minimal. I think for baseball, it's probably more significant, the percentage of what owners make from the people who are actually in attendance, buying tickets and things like that, because it is such a long season. But, you know, you could certainly get away with it. I don't know that once the games begin, I think initially, yes, you will see some distancing initially, but I think that will probably go away as long as things are safe. And I don't believe that the games with fans in the stands will begin until things are safe. So once, you know, initially there might be a little bit of trepidation from people shaking hands or hugging or anything like that. But I believe within a short amount of time that will probably go away and we'll probably be back to as close to what we remember as possible. But I don't know that it'll ever be 100% back to what it was. That I don't know. Yeah.
Right. Will we see doubleheaders, do you think? And will the players' union have to get involved in this whole conversation? Or do you think Tony Clark, Rob Manfred look at each other and say, we have to do what's best for the game? Is Tony going to say, you guys are going to be overusing our players? And this is an interesting one to me.
It is, but I think there's ways around it. I do believe we will see doubleheaders. I absolutely do. Traditional not the day-night doubleheaders, but traditional doubleheaders, I believe we will see. But again, there's ways to address that. Look, the Major League rosters were going to expand to 26 this season. I believe if you do have an overabundance of doubleheaders, say one a week or so, maybe even two a week, I believe that both the Major League Baseball and the Players Association will say, look, for this season only, we're going to have a 30-man roster, a 32-man roster for the entire season in order to protect pitchers. Now, part of the issue there is that a lot of these contracts have clauses containing language about if a certain incentive is hit, then this much money is kicked in. Those type of clauses are going to be almost impossible to reach. That, I believe, will be the bigger argument between the Players Association and Major League Baseball, how to address that issue more than just saying, okay, there's a 32-man roster. I think both sides would say, okay, that's fine. Now, when we get to service time, when we get to contract clauses kicking in, things like that, that, I believe, is where we'll see more of a snag.
One other question for Pedro Gomez, and I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time as always, and that is, your earliest guesstimate, you talk to players, you talk to owners, you talk with people, you got ear in the ground. Earliest guesstimate of when getting back to games may be in your back season, spring training, get in play. What's your earliest guess?
You know, it would just be a guess because honestly, Brad, like you, like anybody out there, nobody truly knows anything. And that's probably the closest part to the truth, that nobody knows anything. But I would say this. Look, once things are greenlit and it's, okay, let's start spring training again, I do believe that we will need probably at least a 14 to 17-day period of spring training. Back in 1995, when we had the replacement player spring training, and then, you know, everything was called off, and then they decided, okay, we're going to have spring training, but it'll be abbreviated. That began on April 7th of 95, and the first games were played on April 25th. So just using that as a benchmark, which was only 25 years ago, I believe it'll probably be something very similar where we have a 14 to 16-day type of a very abbreviated spring training, and then, boom, games begin. And that year, by the way, instead of a 25-man roster, for the first 3 weeks of the season, clubs had a 28-man roster. So, again, three additional players. I believe that we'll see something similar along those lines, at least probably for the first month, where maybe the rosters are expanded by four or five players per club. You know, all we can do is go off precedent, and that's the most recent precedent.
Stay well. Thank you for joining us for a few minutes. Appreciate it.
Of course, Brad. Be well.
You too. Be well. There's Pedro Gomez. Good to catch up with Pedro. On the other side, a little bit about the Cardinals and DeAndre Hopkins from a – because some of you are fantasy football guys, and I get it. You need some sort of distraction. All of us do at this point. Michael Fabiano was with us earlier on the fantasy football impact of the DeAndre Hopkins, David Johnson trade. And then later, Ed Graney joins us live from Vegas on the Vegas Raiders and the Strip being shut down. I'm Brad Sussmann. Welcome back on this Thursday. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Hope you guys are being safe out there as we work through this. The fantasy football side. So, and by the way, Joe Flacco was just released during the break. So if you're a Bronco fan, no more Joe Flacco. You have Drew Locke to get excited about if you're a Denver Bronco fan. So DeAndre Hopkins, the trade to the Cardinals, when it happened, we were putting together our television show, our Football AZ show on Fox Sports Arizona. We do that separate from this. If you're just finding us, many of you working remotely, we do this live show every day at 10 a.m. There's content on here. Some days it is not me. Some days it is Devin Henry and Jordan Hamm. On Wednesdays, Jordan does recruiting in college football and high school football, and Devin does sport of speed, racing, and that. We are here live on Mondays and Thursdays, and we've now ramped that up to be here every day except tomorrow. Tomorrow we will have our Football AZ show. On the Football AZ show, Michael Fabiano was with us from the NFL Network. This is earlier in the week. Right after the Cardinals made the huge trade, DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson, and we tied the fantasy football side into it because here's something that can give many of you hope here in this time of uncertainty, and that is fantasy football's right around the corner. So this was Michael Fabiano. This was in our studios. This was earlier. All right, to lighten the mood here a little bit off this enormous trade with the Cardinals and the Texans and everything that's going on out in society, we have to turn the fantasy football heat up, and none better than the Hall of Famer. It's always good to have Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst for NFL Media and the NFL Network. He joins us on DeAndre Hopkins becoming an Arizona Cardinal and David Johnson going to the Texans from a fantasy standpoint. Mr. Fabiano, who got the better end of this deal?
Well, I mean, the Cardinals did. They stole Hopkins. Bill O'Brien, he's going to be the poster child for why head coaches shouldn't also be GMs, if he hadn't been already. The deal is heavily favored to Arizona. And I listen, you know I love David Johnson.
Yep.
I love him. He's a great guy. He's a great ball player. Unfortunately, what happened last season happened. His value does go up, though. I mean, he's going to Houston. He's going to be the future back for the Texans. I really think it's not about talent there because David has a boatload of it. It's more about whether or not he can avoid injuries. But he has high RB2, low RB1 potential in that offense. Who's catching passes for them? This is a guy who is a great pass catcher, and they just traded Nuke. So DJ is an RB2. With him gone, the Cardinals, assuming they're keeping Kenyon Drake, they put the transition tag on him, so he'll likely stay. Drake could be an RB1. I mean, he was the RB3 after being traded last year to the desert. So he's a great fit for that offense. And then you look at Kyler Murray, and I don't think Nuke's value changes. He's still a top three, top five fantasy wide receiver. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But Kyler Murray, I can make an argument right now that after Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and whatever order you have those guys in, Kyler's three at quarterback.
Wow.
I mean, maybe you could say Russell, Dak. It's not Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's value took a huge hit. He's throwing passes to Will Fuller, who can't stay healthy, to Kiki QT. His value takes an enormous hit here. So Kyler could be the number three quarterback off the board in fantasy drafts in 2020. So great move for the Cardinals all the way around. Obviously, I don't think it changes Larry Fitzgerald's value because Fitz was not going to be drafted into the late rounds regardless. And Christian Kirk's ceiling probably takes a little bit of a hit. Andy Isabella, late round pick at best at this point. But you're talking about the big name guys in this trade. They all see an increase in value. And the players around them, in some respects, will see an increase in value. And none greater than Kyler Murray.
DeAndre Hopkins, if you're just talking fantasy and wide receivers, there's been some play out there since the trade that maybe he's on the backside of his career. Maybe he's not as productive. This reinvigorates him, I believe, in coming into Cliff Kingsbury's offense. What do you say on that front?
He's not even 28. I think he turns 28 like in June or something. He's a young guy, man. I think this is a great fit. The Cardinals offense is fast. We all know that under Kingsbury, as you just mentioned, he's got a guy who can get him the ball deep in Kyler. I think Nuke is going to be absolutely fine. I don't see any sort of decrease in terms of his skill set. His numbers were a little bit down last season, but when you put up gigantic totals like he had in the previous couple of seasons, you know, regression happens from time to time. But he's going to be, I don't know if he's a first round pick because the first round's going to be littered with wide receivers. Running backs, and then, you know, Michael Thomas, which is typical. He's certainly a second round pick.
Yeah, and it closes the door now on Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb coming to Arizona with the eighth
pick.
Yeah,
they're not going to go after a wide receiver in the first round. Yeah, no doubt. So yeah. They can focus on other positions.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always, my friend. Thanks.
Always a pleasure to join you, man, and be safe.
That was Michael Fabiano. That was earlier on the Football AZ Show, which you can watch 16 times per week on Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate the partnership with them. Ed Graney from Las Vegas is live next on the Raiders, the Strip being shut down, and much, much more. I'm Brad Sussmat. I feel like today's show is kind of old home week because we had Pedro Gomez on earlier from San Diego when he and I were there together. And the next voice you're about to hear is from San Diego as well. That would be Ed Graney, Las Vegas Review Journal sports columnist. He has his own show on ESPN Radio in Vegas. He is in a strange, strange city, I'm guessing, right now. Ed, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Brad, how are you? I'm surprised we're on time. You know, that Pedro, I give him a hard time. He can be long-winded. I lived with Pedro and worked with him in San Diego when you were there as well. So I always like hearing that name and knowing you guys are doing well.
Yeah, we're hanging in these uncertain times. I'm curious about you in Las Vegas, just like with the Strip closed and just in general, forget about sports for a minute, just the city.
Extremely surreal. You know, I go to my show every morning at 5:30 and everything's closed. I understand that. And I go home at 10:15 and everything's closed, and that's when it becomes surreal. You know, when the virus kind of hit, we knew obviously Vegas would get some cases, but the whole thing was once the casinos closed, then you knew it had really arrived. I mean, the sports books were one thing. Some stores were another thing. But once it got to the casinos, as you know, the lifeblood of this town, where you know, the economy of this town, that's when it really, really hit. Once they closed, then you knew it was really, really serious. And to drive the Las Vegas Strip now at 4 in the afternoon on a weekday or weekend and see nobody there is probably the most surreal sight I've ever seen since living here. We moved here 14 years ago, and I've never seen anything like this once the casinos went.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, that business and that airport, too, that's a booming airport, too. So like, the city is just the city of Vegas is shut down, and that's just hard to imagine. As a columnist, I'm sure you have stories all over the place and trying to give some context to this. Give me some of those if you see them.
It's difficult. You know, you're saved a little by the Raiders and free agency and the news about them, and the Golden Knights obviously have shut down. But, yeah, it's different. You can try to find new things. I mean, you try to be creative. And, like I said, the Raiders are going to give us some news here for about a week, and then I think it's going to be really difficult. Had the draft, but that's been canceled here. Still do some things on the draft, and, you know, it was obviously the right decision to cancel it. You can't have a draft without people. That would have been completely silly. So, yeah, it's challenging, but you have to find stories to tell. We're finding a lot of people in Vegas who are stepping up for less fortunate. The Golden Knights today followed suit of many teams and gave $500,000 to the workers at T-Mobile. Marc-Andre Fleury gave $100,000 of his money. So there are stories to be had, but like I'm sure you are with your show and my show, it's going to be difficult because we don't know how long this is going to last, and you really still have to, you know, narrate the story to people, but also try to entertain them.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we had DeAndre Hopkins fall into our lap for David Johnson, a bag of rocks down to Houston. As an on-air personality, absolutely. We have something to talk about, and that leads me over to you with Tom Brady. How close were the Raiders to getting Tom Brady, or was this just something that sounded good, may have been good? You have your ear to the ground in Vegas. How close were they?
I think it was the latter. They might have wanted him, but I think all along the perception was he would just look at the roster. He wanted to go somewhere he thought he could win, and they're just not there defensively. Last year they couldn't stop anyone, and I don't know this. I don't know him or his agents, but I would think when he started looking at teams, you know, maybe he liked the tax situation in Nevada, but now he gets that in Florida. There just wasn't a roster, I believe, in his mind probably that he could come and win right away. They're really bad defensively. They're trying to fix that. They've made a few moves in the last few days. They got Corey Littleton. Other guys they've gotten are pretty much just depth guys. They're going to have to build through the draft. So I never truly believed he was going to look at the team and think he could win. And at his age, I mean, I think he's proven he only wants to win. So they might have wanted him. They might have messed around with it a little bit. But I think the more logical decision was, they signed Marcus. They're going to sign Marcus Mariota. People think he's a backup. I actually think he'll come in and compete with Derek Carr because I am never convinced Gruden and Mayock are 100% in on Derek. But that was probably the way they're going to go more than even being serious about trying to get Tom Brady.
Ed Graney with us from Las Vegas, Las Vegas Review Journal, co-host on ESPN Radio. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ed Graney. This stadium, where is that? Because Arizona State's actually tied to that, too. There's a game with UNLV and ASU. What is going on with the stadium? Is UNLV not going to play their games there to start the year? What's the progress on the stadium?
So a couple things. It's funny. We're here in Vegas. So two things have not closed down. Liquor stores and stadium building, which, you know, if you know Vegas, that kind of makes sense. The liquor stores are completely open. They don't care what the governor says. But the stadium's on course. They have not closed down a building. They're all there. The workers are there wearing masks. Now, we have not heard someone has tested positive out of that workforce. If that happens, It might slow things, but the Raiders today enacted their clause saying they will not go back to Oakland for 2020, which means they're coming here no matter what. So it's supposed to be built by July 31st. They've not stopped working, and if they don't stop, they're going to finish. When it comes to Arizona State, UNLV did not do a good job reading the fine print of the contract. They will host Cal in the first football game in Allegiant Stadium. And then there was an issue with Louisiana taking Arizona State with the next 2 weeks on if they could be in the stadium before coming back. It hasn't been announced. My feeling is Louisiana Tech will go into Sam Boyd Stadium and Arizona State will be able to come into the new Allegiant Stadium. Louisiana Tech's just on a holiday weekend. I don't think the Raiders will give that up. I think they'll put a concert in there, a huge concert. But my feeling talking to the Raiders and other people is the odds are they will give them the Arizona State game. And given how many people Arizona could probably bring, Arizona State fans, that's probably the best thing. So if I'm Arizona State fans, I'm very cautiously optimistic that they will play in Allegiant Stadium and the new Raider Stadium.
Where is the NBA and Major League Baseball at in coming to Vegas eventually?
Well, I think the NBA is far closer. I mean, if you know T-Mobile Arena, it was built specifically for both leagues. So on one side is the NHL where the Knights are. On the other side, I mean, they use it for events, but an NBA team could move in there tomorrow, and they could play in T-Mobile tomorrow. All they would need was a practice facility, and there's plenty of land here to build a practice facility, as the Raiders and the Knights have shown. Baseball is different. You know, we know Henderson had some talks with the Diamondbacks. Henderson is really a suburb of Vegas. They've got the Raiders practice facility out there. The Knights are bringing the AHL team out there. Henderson wants to be a player in sports. They want to be a major player. So I'm not surprised they had talks with the Diamondbacks. I just think, Brad, that, you know, with the $750 million in tax to the Raiders stadium, they're not getting any tax money here again for a stadium. Some would have to come in here with their own money and build it. I think that's much farther away than the NBA. I think the NBA with their summer league, with their USA presence here, they're always around here, the NBA players. I think that has a much better chance as a relocation far before the Major League Baseball.
Yeah, being able to pick off teams with the facilities you have and just Vegas in general, you're going to have it eventually, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you always hear about the Pelicans. You always hear about teams like, you know, we've heard the Grizzlies. We've heard teams that either would be willing to move or they have ownership to move. You know, the MGM they own the WNBA team here, the Aces. And I think when they did that, there was a wink-wink handshake agreement like, look, we'll take the WNBA team, that's fine, but we're getting first crack at the NBA team. And I think the MGM has always wanted an NBA team, with the summer league and everything. So I'm not going to be shocked if it's the Pelicans or whoever. I think it'd be more relocation. I don't know if Adam Silver wants to add teams, but if someone wants to relocate, believe me, the MGM will be first in line trying to battle other people.
You have any idea what the books have lost on just not having games? Any clue where this is going to end up?
It's not good. I mean, the MGM has laid off a ton of people. Casinos are laying people off. The Golden Knights, again, finally today stepped up with $500,000 and Fleury with his contribution to the T-Mobile workers who had lost, you know, they weren't getting paychecks. We've done countless stories about just people around town, you know, that people might not think of. High school umpires, personal trainers, you know, Little League, you know, our kids were in Little League. The concession stands, things that no one, the average person might not know, but that's the lifeblood and heart of these people and programs that, you know, pay their bills. So we've had, like, and I'm sure Arizona, I'm sure every city has had this. It does seem like it's hit the Vegas hard. Again, it's a 24-hour town with casinos. And when they shut down all the gambling machines and all the, you know, and you can go into a neighborhood bar and play slots. They're all shut down now. This is hurting pretty much everyone in town that isn't of great wealth. And you know, obviously we have those kind of people too.
Stay well. Appreciate your time and insight, Ed. Thanks.
Yeah, be safe. Stay well with the family. Thanks, brother.
You got it. There's Ed Graney with us from Vegas. Good stuff there. Is Eric still with us, or did he bolt, Jared? I think Eric may have dropped.
Nope, I'm here.
No, you're there? Yeah. Were you listening in on Ed?
I was.
He's good. He's good.
You know, this. That is that has to be a surreal situation. To look down the strip and see two cars, three cars, no lights, no people. I can't even imagine what that looks like.
Like 11 o'clock at night. Forget about 11 in the morning. Like 1 in the morning to go out there and see nothing. To not to not be on a rooftop somewhere having a adult beverage and looking out over the strip and all that. It's
I guess one silver lining from that interview, Brad, is if you're an Arizona State fan, you have more clout than Louisiana Tech. So Louisiana Tech can enjoy Sam Boyd Stadium. I frequented that stadium several times. As have I. They'll have a big crowd there. Well, there'll be some people there for UNLV Louisiana Tech. But
our work is done here. Eric's working on a zone read, which if you've not read it, it's really good. It's a notebook every week just filled with stuff on high school football and backstories and recruiting and just human interest, things that he's interested in. That is heading up on the site. I know Jordan's working on some things as well. We have plenty of content over on our website at sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We are self-funded. Our partners, some of them are hurting right now, as most every industry. So in particular, when you're thinking about going out to eat and having food brought out to your vehicle, think of Venezia's Pizzeria and think of Valle Luna Mexican restaurants. Valle Luna Mexican restaurants and Venezia's Pizzeria. I mean, anybody local, support them. Those are two of our partners that are being impacted by this. So make sure you take care of them. And we're brought to you by Sagicor now. We thank them as well. Have yourself. One other thing. The Iron Man. Jarrett Nielsen can finally get some sleep. Tomorrow we have the Football AZ show here on the stream, and we'll see you on Monday.